We're in the message series, Living in the Goodness of God, and we've been talking over the last couple of weeks that God's nature is good, that his heart towards us is a movement of goodness, and that's who he is in the very core of his being. And we also said that he's a provider for his people. We said that he also restores our hearts, restores our souls as well. Today we'll be looking at the Lord's goodness when we walk through valleys in our life. So let's begin with the gospel. Jesus is at the Last Supper with his disciples, and he makes these extraordinary statements about his relationship to the Father and his relationship to his disciples, to you and me. He says, as the Father has loved me, so I love you, he says. Just think about that now. The Father loved the Son from all eternity with, the best words we could come up with in English is agape love, unconditional love. And that same love that the Father has for the Son, that's the kind of love that Jesus has for each of us. Now, many of you here are parents, and your love for your child is unrivaled by any other love, really, in your life, and in many ways. And yet, what if you said, gosh, the way that I love my son or daughter, that's the way I love you, you know? And it would seem almost humanly not possible to do that, particularly with people you don't know as well. But that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. And how's that love most known? That love is most known at the cross of Jesus. We heard this in the second reading today from first letter of John, where the scripture says it's not so much that we love God first, it's that he first loved us. And he sent his son as an expiation. It's a kind of a fancy word. It means simply means that he atoned for our sins. He has washed away the debt that we owed him, a debt of loyalty and trust and love. The Son gave it all back to the Father on our behalf. The cross is the measure and the depth of his love for us. I often say, you've heard me say before, that there's only one person who will have wounds in eternity in heaven, and that is Jesus. His wounds reveal the depth of his forgiveness for us. It also reveals the length and the width of his pouring out of his love for us. Look, when you look at the crucifix, you see arms stretched out. That's how wide and deep is his love for us. When you look at his wounds, that's how deep forgiveness flows from his heart towards you and me. And he's reconciled us to his Father because of that. And then he says, no greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And that's what he did, right? He laid down his life for us so that the valleys of life don't have to conquer us, but through the power of his love, we conquer them. And then he says, he calls us friends, and he says he wants us to love one another the way that he loves us. I often say it's not always easy to love people that come across our life that particularly are difficult or challenging to us, or just people that are acquaintances. But the more that we experience being loved by the Lord for us, the more we have love, we are capable of loving others. The more that we are loved by the Father, the more our hearts get stretched to love one another, particularly those that are most challenging to love. The secret is getting our hearts full of his love for us, so that our hearts are stretched with a new capacity to love those he places in our life. What about the valleys of life? There's a beautiful, we've been talking about Psalm 23, one of the most beautiful psalms in the Bible. Even atheists have a revere attitude towards Psalm 23. It's oftentimes heard at funerals. We said that, well, it's a beautiful psalm to comfort those who've lost loved ones. Psalm 23 is for the living as well. It's wonderful benefits of God's goodness for us. One of those benefits are what we're so familiar with, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for your rod and staff are with me. Valleys are part of life. The Bible actually has a lot to say about valleys. You know, because we live in a world that's fallen and broken, then bad things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people as well. No one is isolated from pain in their life. Psalm 34 says, the good person doesn't escape all troubles, but he knows this, that God helps him in each and every one of those troubles. The Bible is full of significant valleys. One such valley is called the Valley of Siddim. It means the valley of failure. It's where we slip and we fall. It goes back to Genesis chapter 14. There were four kings that had assembled their armies together, and they wanted to amass their armies to go out and defeat five kings who were in rebellion. As they pursued those five kings, they had the better hand of it, and those five kings fled. But what they didn't realize was that in the Valley of Siddim, there are tar pits, and these five kings and their armies fell into the tar pits. The question is, why did those five kings and their armies do that? Well, those four kings came along and confiscated all their property and all their goods. It's because those five kings and those armies that were fleeing because of panic. And their falling into the tar pits constituted a failure on their part because they were running away from something. When we fail, our tendency is to run away, right, from it. But as Christians who walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we can stand, we don't have to run from our failures. We can stand at the cross, knowing that at the cross, the mercy that flows from the heart of Jesus is sufficient to cover us in our failures. The second kind of valley we find in the scripture is called the Valley of Eshkol. It's a valley of fear. It's when we are in dread of things. There's a story about that in Numbers chapter 13. Numbers is a book in the Bible. It's a part of what's called the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. And Moses sent 12 spies out to look at the land that was promised to the Israelites by the Lord. The Lord said, there's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a great land. It's an awesome land. It's yours, he said. I'm promising it to you. 12 spies went out. 10 spies looked at the land and said, it's a great land. It's an awesome land. And they went back to Moses and said, it's just like the Lord said. Wonderful food is on the land. Awesome is the land. But there's one problem. There are giants of people on the land. They're so huge, they make us look like grasshoppers. There was two other spies. Their names were Caleb and Joshua. They also saw the same thing the 10 spies saw. And they went back to Moses and said, yes, the land is flowing with milk and honey. It's an awesome land. The Lord said we can have it. And yes, there are giants on the land too. But the Lord told us we can have the land. So let's go up and possess it. So what are the valleys of Eshkol in your life? Do you see them as opportunities or you see them as an obstacle? The 10 spies saw them as an obstacle. The two spies, Caleb and Joshua, saw it as an opportunity. And why was it? Because Caleb and Joshua trusted in the goodness of the Lord and his provision for them. A third kind of valley that we find in the scripture is the valley of Elah. It's the valley of conflict or giant challenges in your life. It's the valley that David met Goliath in. The Philistines were on one hill, and on the other hill were the Israelites. It was an opposing hill. And they were going to send out their best fighter to defeat Goliath, who was a huge person of a man for that day and was an expert and a warrior in terms of a fighter. And the Israelites were basically afraid of Goliath. And so ultimately, it fell to David, his five smooth stones, and he was first dressed in Saul's armor, and he said, this is too clunky for me, I can't take it, so he threw off the armor, and he went with his shepherd clothing, which is not a whole lot. He had five stones to work with, but he was an expert with it. David's response was to Goliath that he was not going to run in fear, but he was going to trust the Lord to go before him and make a way for him. And that's exactly what David did. He used his expert skills with those five smooth stones, was able to outmaneuver Goliath, and was able to kill him and win the day for the Israelites. It was in the midst of David's giant challenges that he found that God was sufficient for him. God had made provision for him. What valley are you in this morning? There are three things to remember when you're in a valley. The first is that you're not alone. Notice what the Psalm 23 says. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I walk through the valley of the shadow You know, shadows can feel intimidating. They can feel threatening to us. But you know, you can't have a shadow without having light. Jesus said this in John chapter 8. He said, "Follow me," he says, "and you won't be walking in the dark. You will have the light of life." In order to have a shadow, you have to have light. When you're in the midst of the valley, you're not alone. The light of Christ is there with you. Second thing, remember when you're in a valley, is that God has a good purpose he's working out for your life. God doesn't do evil. Rather, he works to establish good for us in the midst of our valleys. He wants to strengthen us. He's called the Good Shepherd. When Israelites were out in the desert and Hosea the prophet, the Lord spoke through Hosea the prophet and said this, "I will transform the valley of troubles into a gateway of hope." That's what the Lord wants to do with us in our valleys. He wants to transform our troubles into a gateway of hope. He's at work, working things out for our good when we turn to him, because his nature is good. Third thing to remember when you're in the valley is that his rewards are everlasting. Remember, notice what he says, "Thy rod and thy staff are with me, they comfort me." This rod is the authority of the Lord, and the comfort is his compassion for us. And the Lord does that primarily through his word in sacred scripture. There in the midst of the valleys, we find that we have a leader, that is the person of Jesus and his word to us. And we find that when we connect with him in the midst of our valleys, he doesn't hassle us. He heals us and leads us through the valley. That when we feel confused in the midst of the valley, we find out that his wisdom and his word is able to see us through the valley. And when we fail, we find out in his word that he rescues us and puts us on a road to recovery in the midst of the valley. So in other words, when you're in the valley, the Lord wants to pour out his wisdom to us through his word. He wants to connect with us through his word, and he wants to lead us through the valley through the word of God in sacred scripture. You know, there's a lot of things that we're in the midst of the valley we can go to. I often say the Bible is the one book that needs to be on the top of our list that we go to in the midst of our valleys. Now, there's one more valley left. It's called the Valley of Decision. Joel speaks about it in chapter 3. He says, multitudes, he says, the valley of decision for the Lord's, the day of the Lord is near. It's the moment when we decide to trust the Lord or not trust the Lord. It's the moment when we decide to walk in his commandments or not walk in his commandments. It's the moment we decide to seek him for his wisdom or not seek him for his wisdom. In other words, when we're in the midst of the valley, we have a decision to make. What decision will we make? We'll determine whether we go through the valley in a way that brings us through victoriously, or we find ourselves stuck in the valley. The valley of decision is something that we all face. What kind of decision will you make in your valley? To trust the goodness of the Lord, trust his wisdom, to walk in his ways, and find out that he turns our valleys into mountaintops. So let's pray. So Lord, we thank you, give you praise that your nature is good, that your heart is filled with blessing to us. And though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil, for your rod and your staff are with us. We thank you, Lord, that you walk with us in the valley and that you are the light that disperses our darkness. And we give you thanks, Lord, that your word is full of wisdom and sees us through the valley and leads us through the valley. So, Lord, I ask you this day for the grace to trust you, to trust in your goodness, to trust in your wisdom, to trust in your power, to trust in your strength, and to trust in your grace for us in the midst of the valley. For you want to turn our valleys into mountaintops. And we thank you for this as we pray through Christ our Lord.